We want to thank you for the ability to come into your presence. For we have no right. We've sinned against you and others. But by your grace and your grace alone, by the blood of Jesus Christ who died on the cross for us, who paid the penalty for our sins, who took the punishment that we deserve, we're able to come into your presence every hour of every day and come into your presence together to glorify your name every Sunday morning and every other opportunity that we make to come into your presence and sing your praises, for you are truly worthy of all the honor and glory and praise we can give you. Lord, our prayer this morning is that you would bless this time that we've gathered together, that you would help us each and every one to hear what you have to say specifically to us, not to everybody else, not to anybody else, but just to us. And Lord, we're going to thank you for that message that is to come, for we know that it comes from a God who overflows with grace and love and just wants what is absolutely best for our lives, for our families and our homes, for our marriages and our children, and for our church. And that is you. We've gathered in Jesus' name, we've sang in Jesus' name, and as always, we pray in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning again. I want to invite you to turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 is where we'll be reading from God's Word this morning. And I'm going to start in verse 14 of Galatians chapter 5. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word this morning. A few weeks ago, we began a series of sermons, a study that we're calling Healthy Relationships in a Dysfunctional World. We learned from Jesus' own teachings what it is to be a friend and how to be a friend. And He said, I'm telling you this so that your joy may be complete. I want you to have friends and be friends. We learned what it is to be loyal in a friendship. We learned that it's important to make things right with family. We learned that mom exhibits all these things. Okay, that's just in her nature. And we began to look a little bit last week at what it means to be forgiving and gracious to people who maybe have wronged us. And so this week, we continue on that, the study called Healthy Relationships in a Dysfunctional World. But I want to just take a few moments and look at the other side or the other half of that statement. We live in a dysfunctional world, all right? We just do. And it gets more and more that way every single day, and it has a greater and greater impact on our lives every single day, it seems. You know, dysfunctional. Come on, preacher, that's a little bit harsh, don't you think? Don't you think that's a bit severe? No, actually, I don't think so at all. I don't think it's at all harsh or over the top to call our society, the world that we live in, dysfunctional anymore. I don't, and that's unfortunate. We see examples all around us. And I don't think any illustrates the point any greater than one particular news story that hit this week. And it was all over the radio and the television and all the news channels, both national and local. And so it drew my attention without me necessarily wanting to pay attention to it. And a very salient point became extremely clear. But the story that I'm talking about is the young man, 22 years old, college student in California, who went on a little bit of a killing spree this week. Now, here in just a couple of minutes, I'm going to read some of his statements, and it's a little graphic, and it's a little bit PG-13, and I just want you to be aware of that before we get into it. All right, nothing. I'm going to skip over a couple of words, but I think that if we're in any way, shape, or form in doubt that the world around us is dysfunctional, having problems, then this illustrates that that we may be fooling ourselves if we disagree with that point. See, Paul said, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other. And then he begins to draw the contrast between God's way and the world's way, between what happens if we don't seek out God's Word and God's will, and what happens if we do. And with that in mind, the young man's name was Elliot Rodger, and this is a 700-word statement that he made the night before he gathered up his guns and began to hurt people permanently. This is my last video, and it's all come to this. Tomorrow is the day of retribution, the day in which I will have my revenge against humanity, against all of you. For the last 8 years of my life, ever since I hit puberty, I've been forced to endure an existence of loneliness, rejection, and unfulfilled desires. All because girls have never been attracted to me. Girls gave their affection and their sex and their love to men, but never to me. I'm 22 years old and I'm still a virgin. I've never even kissed a girl. I've been through college for 2.5 years, more than that actually, and I'm still a virgin. It's been very torturous. College is a time when everyone experiences fun and pleasure. Within these years, I've had to rot in loneliness. It's not fair. You girls have never been attracted to me, and I don't know why you girls aren't attracted to me, but I will punish you all for it. It's an injustice, a crime, because I don't know what you don't see in me. I'm the perfect guy, yet you throw yourselves at these obnoxious men instead of me. I will punish you all for it. On the day of retribution, I'm going to enter the sorority house at UCSB. I will slaughter every spoiled, stuck-up blonde I see inside there. All those girls I've desired so much, they would have all rejected me and looked down on me as an inferior man. I'll take great pleasure in slaughtering all of you. You will finally see that I am, in truth, the superior one, the true alpha male. After I've annihilated every single girl in the sorority house, I will take to the streets of Isla Vista and slay every single person I see there. All those popular kids who live such lives of pleasures, well, I've had to rot in loneliness for all these years. They've all looked down on me every time I tried to go out with them. They've all treated me like a mouse. Well, now, I will be a god compared to you. You will be the animals. You are the animals, and I will slaughter you like animals, and I will be a god, exacting my retribution on all those who deserve it. You do deserve it. Just for the crime of living a better life than me. All you popular kids, you've never accepted me, and now you will all pay for it. And girls, all I ever wanted was to love you and to be accepted and loved by you. I've wanted a girlfriend. I've wanted love, affection, adoration. You think I'm unworthy of it. That's a crime that can never be forgiven. If I can't have you, I will destroy you. You denied me a happy life, and in turn I will deny all of you life. It's only fair. I hate all of you. Humanity is a disgusting, wretched, depraved species. If I had it in my power, I would stop at nothing to reduce every single one of you to mountains of skulls and rivers of blood, and rightfully so. And you deserve to be annihilated, and I'll give that to you. You forced me to suffer all my life, and now I'll force you to suffer. There's more, but you get the point. It's a shame that anybody a human being created in God's image should ever feel that way. A lot of finger pointing goes on because these networks and stations make money off of creating hoopla over these things. A lot of fingers get pointed. A lot of fingers get pointed at guns. I don't want to get political, but can I just tell you that guns didn't do things like this, okay? Let me just put it out there, the guns didn't do it. We're just looking for something to blame it on in that case, all right? Matter of fact, he stabbed 3 people and ran over 4 with his car, all right? It wasn't guns that did it. Other people have actually said that racism had a role in causing this. Because anymore, what doesn't, all right? What don't we say racism caused this anymore? It's everything. Some people ask, is he demon-possessed? I don't know. It's possible. It is very possible. Because it does happen. But I don't know the answer to that question. There's a lot I don't know. But here's the one thing that I do know. I know that I know that I know it. And I want you to know it too. I think you already do. We can point a lot of fingers at what caused this. But we all have to know that the answer is the gospel. The answer is the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. God's only Son who came to this world and lived a perfect life and taught us all what it is to be children of God, to have eternal life. And who went to a cross and took the punishment for all our sins and conquered sin and death in the grave and paved the way for us to be with Him and the Father in eternity. That is the answer to the dysfunction that we see in our world. All you teenagers, college students, young adults, teachers, parents, that pretty much covers about everybody, doesn't it? There are people in our schools feeling some level of what we see Elliot Rodger expressing. The answer is the gospel. 700 words. 16 times he mentions loneliness, rejection. That he feels like he's alone. That he feels like he doesn't have any friends. 16 times. That's very telling that he would keep using those two words over and over and over. You know that Jesus Christ died so that we should never have to be alone? You understand that? You understand that Jesus taught that we are to be friends? Nobody should ever feel lonely. For that matter, God is always with you. 21 times he mentions sex. Because the world's telling him that that is the end-all, be-all of everything. That if you get that, then you've climbed to the top of the mountain. That is your first and most important goal. The gospel says, no, it's not. Jesus is. Your family is. It's all dysfunctional. 17 times he mentions revenge, annihilation, being a god, taking God's place, retribution. 17 times. See, he feels lonely and isolated because people don't accept him. And so he's going to take matters into his own hands and do something about it. There are people that feel a lot like this. I want to say, if you're one of those, the gospel is the answer. There is always hope. Elliot Rodger took matters into his own hands because he didn't see that there was any hope for them. Please know this morning, there is always hope. You understand that? If we believe what we say we believe and Jesus conquered everything, then there is always hope. And people in your life that you know, they need to know that. They need to know that the gospel is the answer to their life. All right? If you don't see it that way, if you don't see the gospel as something that goes, well, you know what, that means it's going to be okay, then you don't understand the gospel, not yet. If you don't see the gospel as something that fixes it all, then you don't understand the gospel, not yet. If you don't see what Jesus has done and accomplished as meaning that everything is going to be okay, then you don't understand the gospel, not yet. We're going to send a group of teenagers and adults to a third world country next month. Honduras. Where the government and the police and the authorities are as corrupt as anywhere in the world. You're going to go to Honduras where poverty is as rampant as anywhere in the world. Why? Because the answer to their problem is the gospel. All right? We're going to have VBS in just a few weeks, and we're going to invite, open our doors and invite all these people from the community and hopefully lots of kids, and they're going to come in here and be loud and make a mess. Okay? It's going to be dirty, and it's going to be one of those weeks where you get out of work and you got to go pick up the kids and rush over here. It's just going to drive you crazy, and we're not going to get enough sleep because it's going to run a little in. Why do we do that? Because the gospel is the answer. It is the answer. That's why. To all the dysfunction and all the hurt and all the pain and all the loneliness, it's the answer. It's the answer to the issues you're having with your boss. The gospel is the answer to the problems you're having raising your kids. The gospel is the answer to the marital issues that you're having. The gospel is the answer to the problems you're having with your neighbor. The answer is the gospel. You know, you could take this whole subject around in the direction of, okay, this could have been spared if this young man's family, if his church, which obviously don't exist, had just known the gospel for what it is, then all this could have been prevented. And you could take this subject in the direction of, okay, church, it's time to get off our rump and do something. But you know what? I don't see that it's really that way. What I see, as you look into the mind, as you look into the heart of this young man, Elliot Rodger, which is a picture of so many, I see some pretty low-hanging fruit. I see that some very simple, easy things could have been done. Not necessarily just to prevent a shooting spree or a killing spree, but to prevent a young man with his whole life ahead of him, any young person with their whole life ahead of them, from feeling like there is no hope. There's some very easy, simple things that could be done. You know what we do? We make it way too complicated. We do. We make it way too complex. We think, you know, if it was just something that I knew that I could do, if I knew of somebody that needed help and needed talking to, I'd do it. We're all good people. I mean, roughly speaking. I mean, you don't compare us to axe murderers. You don't compare us to Jesus. We're somewhere in the middle, at least. Probably closer to Jesus, hopefully. Right? We're all good people. If somebody came to you and asked you for help and told you they were lonely and told you they were thinking about ending their own life, you'd help them, right? We'd all do that. Every single one of us would. There's love in our heart. But it's not that complicated. You don't have to wait for somebody to come to you. You don't have to find that absolute dire situation and try to alleviate the biggest problem there. All we have to do is live out the gospel every day. It's really just as simple as this. Listen very carefully. Do something nice every day. If somebody just encouraged this young man and done him a favor, just extended a hand of help to him over something small, it might have changed his whole view of the whole world. Just do something nice for somebody every day. You already have reason to. We all do. Because Jesus has been so nice to me. That's an understatement. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's time it started getting out of us, flowing from us. What do I do? It doesn't have to be complicated. It's easy. Just smile at somebody. Call a loved one and let them know that. Write a handwritten note. Fill an expired or about to expire parking meter. Leave some extra money in the vending machine. Send your favorite grade school teacher flowers. Pay the toll or the fast food bill for someone in line behind you. instead of just thinking it, compliment somebody. Ask someone, how are you? And mean it. Listen. Make some baked goods for your neighbors. Call someone you haven't and talk to them for a little while. Offer someone else your seat. Visit a nursing home. Say thank you for an otherwise routine or mundane act. Stop and have a conversation. Volunteer. Mentor. Prepare a to-go breakfast for the morning mailman. Mail a friend some cupcakes. Give your waiter or waitress a huge tip. Read to a child. Rake someone's yard. Be a courteous driver. Hold the elevator or the door open. Practice patience. Refrain from gossiping. Speak well of others. Think of the power of just talking positive instead of negative all the time could have. Let someone get in line ahead of you. Babysit for a single parent. Compliment a stranger sincerely. Run an errand for somebody. Send a friend an old photo and recall that time. Invite someone who was alone over for dinner. Introduce yourself to someone you always see around. Anonymously send a friend some needed cash. Cook dinner for a busy parent. The key here is don't wait to be asked. Don't wait for it to fully present itself. There is great power in just the simple, okay? One writer said, never underestimate the power of your actions. With one small gesture, you can change a person's life, for better or for worse. God puts all of us, each in each other's lives, to impact one another in some way. Let's us show the gospel to the people we come into contact with. Amen. Pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, first of all, for the fact that there is always hope because of what Jesus has said and what Jesus has done and what Jesus has conquered. That no situation, no broken heart, no dysfunctional life is beyond repair because of the gospel. Lord, help us to live in sight of that and show that fact to the people that you have placed in our lives, to the people that we don't yet notice, for their good, for our relationships, but most of all for your glory. Help us to take note of the opportunities that present itself today and tomorrow and this week and this month, that we might extend the simple act of kindness because of how good you have been to us. May it make an eternal difference, for we call upon you to put the power and the supernatural working in it to reach the hearts and lives and save the souls of those who need it. Lord, if there's anyone in our midst this morning who has not accepted the gospel for themselves, who has not come to Christ and asked for forgiveness and put their faith in Him and given their lives to Him, I pray that they would do that today. For then you would extend the greatest act of kindness ever known to mankind. You will forgive them and give them an eternal reason to live. We humbly submit all this at your feet, our loving God. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. It's just a time of invitation. Whatever God is laying on your heart, whatever He's telling you you need to do, I hope you will. Because we live in the midst every day, whether we recognize it, whether we notice it, whether we want to share it or not, we live in the midst every day of amazing grace. Let's stand and sing.